indeed, we are going one way.
Yeah. Amen.
Whether it be the right way, that's going to depend on how you live your life on this time side of life for the Lord. It's good to see everyone this morning. I hope and pray all is well with you. I just hope and pray that you're trying to remain steadfast and unmovable in your Christian walk. We have been looking at Matthew chapter 9, verses 36 through 38 since the beginning of the year. And as we draw this particular text to a close, and as we look forward to a new text, by means we haven't fully got all we could get out of this text, because there's a whole lot more in it. But I figured for the next couple weeks, as we draw this text to a close, I want to put some stuff on your mind as we've had been doing all for the past 3 months. But Jesus here in this text, the Bible says he's moved. He's concerned. He's looking at God's people. And as he looks at God's people, he sees them like sheep that don't understand which way they're going. And if you were to look at Webster's dictionary of the word sheep, it talks about a timid animal that will follow just about anything. But that's not us. Better look again. That's not us. But I want to show you that Jesus here looks at these individuals and he's concerned about them. And when he talks about this, this is actually comes from the Old Testament of the Septuagint. And some of y'all probably saying, what in the world is the Septuagint? Well, maybe you need to go find out what the Septuagint is. It was the Bible that the Jews had. And within this Septuagint, they talk about sheep and how sheep goes astray regardless if they don't have a shepherd. And I want you to get this morning, because as I looked at this, I said, Lord, have mercy, how easy is it to go astray? So the title of the lesson is, who is your shepherd? Or are you a sheep gone astray? Because as I looked at Jesus here, and as he's moved not just with mere words. You know, sometimes words move us. Sometimes it takes earthquakes to move some of us to the Lord. Sometimes it takes death in the family to move us to the Lord. And the way the world is going, when they start dropping these bombs, I wonder how many of the church houses will be filled with us. Because we're going to be moved to seek the Lord. And I'm reminded that in the Old Testament, the prophet says, seek the Lord while he's able to be found. Least when you look for him, he might not be nowhere to be found. But in this text, I want to just help us to see that we're all sheep. But the question is, who's your shepherd? Or are you a sheep that have just gone astray? And you're probably saying, no, I'm not astray. Well, we're going to find out in just a few minutes. See, because when you look at this text raises some question about God's people. And it raises a question to the point to where God's people must constantly look at who really is my shepherd. 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and round about verse number 5. Paul says, examine yourself whether or not you be in the faith. Paul says, prove it to yourself that Christ is in you, except you be a reprobate or except you be disqualified. So when we talk about the shepherd, when we talk about the sheep, you have to ask yourself a question, which one am I really doing? Or which one am I really? Matthew chapter 9 and round about verse number 36. The Bible says, but when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and they were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then said he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore that the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. See, God has a harvest, church. And because we've obeyed from the heart the gospel and have been added to the body of Christ, to the church, we are part of the harvest that someone harvested before you got in. And now that we're in the vineyard, in the harvest, it's our time to go out and seek and save those individuals. But the question is, who's your shepherd? Or are you a sheep gone astray? See, when I look at this text, I can't help but to think about it. It's so easy to go astray. Have we allowed the cares of this world to tie us every way but loose? And if the world has tied you up, guess what? You are a sheep that have gone astray. Oh, you're looking at me funny. See, because when the world gets a hold of you, it makes you do things contrary to what the Bible says. John chapter 12 and round about verse number 32, Jesus says, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw men unto myself. So if God is the shepherd of my life, guess what I'm doing? I'm lifting him up, and guess what he's going to do? He's going to draw all unto him. And see, and the world does not dictate to me. John chapter 16 and round about verse number 32. Jesus says, in this world, you're going to have some problems. Amen. See, I can tell and you can tell whether or not Christ is the shepherd of your life, or are you a sheep gone astray? So, because when the cares of this world has more influence over you than the shepherd, you're gone astray. And I'm going to show you that you can be a sheep and not even know that you've gone astray.
Amen.
You know, because when you understand that the Lord is the Lord of your life, then life takes on a whole new meaning. Go over there to John chapter 10 and round about verse number 9. I'm going to show you that you can be astray and not even know it.
Amen.
Because the cares of this world can wrap you up, tie you up so much that you forget who you really are. John chapter 10, I'm sorry. And round about verse number 9, look at what Jesus says. Jesus says in verse number 9, I am the door. By me, if any man enters in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. That sounds like a sheep that knows who the shepherd is.
Amen.
And see, when you go by the door of the shepherd, does the cares of the world dictate to you? Does life itself dictate to you? No. Because Jesus said, if you enter in by me, everything else is going to be all right.
Amen.
See, because when he talks about going and finding pastors, Psalms division 51, God said, I don't need a bull from your pen or a goat from your stable. The world is mine and the fullness thereof. So if I believe that he is the Lord of my life, what kind of pastor am I going to be in? Oh, y'all don't hear me this morning. The psalmist said in Psalms 23, the Lord is my shepherd. Oh, you don't hear me this morning. See, because when you understand who's in control of your life, you don't worry about what pasture you're going to be in. I'm going to be in green pastures. And you know what happens when you get in the green pastures of the shepherd? He maketh your enemies be at peace. He leads you beside the still water. And he calms everything in your life when he is the shepherd of your life. But see, is he the shepherd or have you gone astray? The Bible says in verse number 10, the thief has come not to steal, but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I have come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. See, a sheep that understands the shepherd. The Bible says the sheep hears the shepherd's voice. And no one can pluck the sheep out of the shepherd's hand. But the wolf, the hireling, you know, the hired individual, that's another lesson within itself.
Yeah, it is.
But some of y'all hired sheep. I'll let that soak in. See, because when you really understand who's the shepherd of your life is centered around what the shepherd dictates. You ever wonder why the shepherd has a sheepdog and he tries to keep the goats away from the sheep? You know what the goat will do? We ain't got no goats in here, huh?
Nah.
I'm gonna leave that alone. Let me go on. See, you can ask yourself a question. Am I following the shepherd, or have I gone astray? And see, and a lot of times we think because we're in the church, amen, Walls.
Amen.
And because we've obeyed from the heart the gospel,
amen,
Walls. And that I come when I feel like it and give God a little of whatever, amen. We all think we're going to heaven. Well, I just thought I'd stop by this morning and tell you that not all of us are going to make it.
That's right.
That's a sad commentary, but I just got to tell it like it is. In 1 Peter chapter 1 and round about verse number 17, I want to show you something. That just because we're in the body of Christ is not a shoe-in. I wish it was.
I do too.
But it's not. I want to remind us and encourage us that one day we're going to stand before his judgment seat and we're going to give an account of everything that we've done in the body. And if we're going to give an account, I don't know about you, I want to make sure my calling is an election shoe. And the only way you're going to be able to do that is to keep your mind focused on what's truly important. 1 Peter chapter 4, I'm sorry, and round about verse number 15. Let me show you some things here. See, I've learned that you can go astray in your own mind,
amen,
you know, where you think you're okay.
Yep.
I make all the Sundays. Yep. I've only missed a few Wednesdays.
Right.
You know, I'm a fairly good person.
Yeah.
I haven't saved anybody. I haven't seeked the lost, but I'm okay because God knows my heart.
Yeah.
Does he?
He does.
Yeah, he does. You're right. But let me show you something. 1 Peter chapter 4 and round about verse number 15. Peter says, but let none of you suffer as a murderer or a thief or a busybody in other men's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin with us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous, I didn't say this, if the righteous scarcely be saved. That's why I'm glad I'm not under that old covenant.
That's right.
Because under that old covenant,
that's right,
if the righteous scarcely be saved, where will the sinner and the ungodly man appear? Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their soul to him in well-doing as a faithful creator. Say, do you follow the shepherd or have you gone astray? Jesus in our lesson text here, as he looks at the people of God, he's concerned about their mindset. He's so concerned that he raises a question to his disciples. Where are the laborers? The harvest truly is plentiful, but there's only a few individuals out here doing the work. And then he reminds those that have obeyed him to do what? Pray to the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his vineyard. In Judges chapter 21, there are some individuals there under Benjamin where God commanded them not to take wives of the foreign countries. But you know what? They got just like us.
Amen.
When the women came out to dance. Oh, you go back and read it.
Yeah.
Men got excited. And so only did they get excited, as many as they could catch. You haven't read that? That's what my Bible said. As many as they could catch, they married. Lord have mercy. That's a message within itself. But God tells them what to do, and they do just the opposite of what God commands them to do. And the Bible says in Judges chapter 21,
okay,
and round about verse number 24, the Bible says, and the children of Israel departed hence at that time, every man to his own tribe and his family, and they went out from then, every man to his own inheritance. God had commanded them what to do.
Mm-hmm.
And you would think that as faithful servants of God, they would do what God said. No. God got out of the picture.
Right.
Look at the world we live in. How close is God in the picture that we live in today? Only when something happens, chemical warfare. Only when bombs start to dropping that folks really start thinking about the Lord.
That's right.
When the Bible says in James chapter 4, I believe, what is your life? It is even as a vapor that appeareth for a little while, then it vanishes away. The Bible says in verse number 25 of Judges chapter 21, in those days there were no kings in Israel. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. You tell me that ain't going on today. The question is, are you following the shepherd, or are your sheep gone astray? See, the Pharisees thought they had a real good handle on it. They were the religious leaders. They were the individuals that set the precedent according to the Septuagint, according to the Torah. That's right. They just knew that they had it together because they were God's chosen people. Sounds like the church today. Because I come, because I'm here, I do a little bit, I'm okay in the sight of God. Well, I just dropped by this morning to tell you that there's a census being taken, and it's being taken by God.
Amen.
And he says, not just because you name his name is not shoe in. Matthew chapter 7 and round about verse number 21, Jesus says, in that day will we not say, Lord, Lord, have we not? In thy name cast out devils, in thy name done many wonderful works. And he gonna say, depart. It's not that I don't know you. I never knew you. But the Pharisees just knew that they were doing the will of the Father. But I want to show you that Jesus condemned them simply because of some of the things that they did not do. In Matthew chapter 23 and round about verse number 15, the Bible says, woe unto you scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, for you compass the sea and land and make one proselyte. And when he is made, he is made twofold the son of hell. I didn't say this. It's in your Bible. You need to understand something. Either you're following the shepherd, or you might be twofold the son of hell.
Amen.
I didn't say that. It is in your Bible. You can read it. Because the Pharisees just knew they had it all together. How many of us sitting here this morning because I'm in the church? I got it together. Ask yourself a question. I know this is some hard stuff to handle, but I got one more lesson in this text before we switch. But I want to show you that Jesus looked at God's people and he was concerned. I don't know about you. I have some sleepless nights when I'm concerned about you. You know why? Because if I'm a guardian of your soul, and I try to edify you, build you up, and motivate you to do what God said, and you just don't want to do it. I'm like the prophet Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 29. Jeremiah told God, you know what, God? I'm not going to say another word to these folks. They don't like me. They don't want to, they don't want to hear me. Your word is dull in their hearing. He says, you know what? I'm not going to speak another word about you. But the Bible said, Jeremiah said, I just couldn't help myself. No. Church, I can't help myself. He said it like a fire shut up in my bones. Church, I got to tell it like a T.I. is, because he going to hold me accountable. And if he going to hold me accountable for your blood, I'm going to make sure I get it off of my hands. That's why I'm preaching today as if this is my last one and I stand before Jehovah later on today. Why? Because he holds me accountable. Jesus says in Matthew 23, they compass land and sea to make one proselyte and then make him twofold the son of hell. Woe unto you blind guides, which saith, whosoever shall swear of the temple is nothing, but whosoever swear by the gold of the temple, he is a debtor. You fools and blind, which is greater? I'm not saying this. This is what Jesus is saying.
Amen.
Jesus is condemning these religious leaders because they have left what's truly important. When you look at verse number 26, he says, woe unto you scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, for you clean the outside of the cup and the platter, but within there is full of extortion and excess. Thou blind Pharisees, clean first the cup and the platter, that the outward of them may be clean also. Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, for you look like whitewashed sepulchres. I want you to get this. Mm-hmm. I want you to definitely get this one. Mm-hmm. Because when you go to the graveyard, mm-hmm. it looks all pretty. Mm-hmm. When you go out into the world, don't you look
pretty.
Huh? But what's really on the inside? And that's what Jesus is trying to get these Pharisees to see. He says, woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees. You're like whitewashed sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outside, but within are full of dead men's bones and all uncleanliness. Even so, you also outward appearance righteous unto men, but inside you are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. You're following the shepherd, or your sheep gone astray. I want to just encourage you, church. Yeah, I want to encourage you, but I'm like Peter. I'm like Paul now. As long as I'm in this tabernacle, I need to stir up your mind by way of remembering. You need to know just because you've obeyed the gospel doesn't give you a guarantee that you're going to make heaven your home.
No.
You must be busy in the kingdom in order to make heaven your home. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and round about verse number 24. A servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle to all men, apt to teach patience and meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. If God peradventure will grant them repentance to the knowledging of the truth, and they may escape from the devil who have taken them captive at his will. Church, you can be sitting here and the devil have a hold on you. Oh yeah, some of you done already turned me off. Guess who has a hold of you? Some of you, church, we need to understand. And that's why it's got to be personal. You know, I love each and every one of us. But if we're going to make heaven our home, we got a whole world out here that needs us.
Amen.
That's right. No longer can we tiptoe through the tulips. It's time to get busy doing the will of the Father. See, because there's some sheep that need a shepherd. And the question is, what kind of sheep are you? See, that S, there are some sinners that need to make heaven their home. Oh, yeah. Romans chapter 3 and verse number 23. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. See, we need to understand that there are some folks out there that are in the world that needs the saving grace of the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 1 and round about verse number 16. Listen to what Paul says about faith. He says in verse number 16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, and who hold the truth in ungodliness. See, there are some sinners that need God, and they need God's plan to redeem man. See, heaven is God's plan of salvation. And in that plan of salvation, it leads them to eternal salvation. Oh yeah, heaven, what is heaven? John chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. He sent the very best of heaven to reconcile sinful man back to himself. John chapter 3 verses 16 and 17. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but should have everlasting life. For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And see, in that eternal life that we have in Christ Jesus, it edifies the body. For what purpose? To build up the people of God.
Amen.
Oh yeah. The question is, are you a sheep gone astray, or has the shepherd really took hold of you? See, that eternal life that we have. John chapter 6, verse 68. I'm reminded of Jesus. The Bible said in that passage that when he came to his disciples, he told them, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you. They said, this is a hard saying. Who can bear it? The Bible says many of his disciples turned and walked no more with him. The Bible said Jesus turned to the 12 and said, will you also go? See, that's one thing I like about Jesus. He ain't gonna chase you down. That's a lesson that I learned. He ain't gonna chase you, and I'm not gonna chase you either. Oh yeah. Jesus said, whosoever will, let him come. The Bible says he turned to the 12 and says, will you also go? Peter said, Lord, to whom shall we go to? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we are persuaded that thou art the Christ. See, that eternal life brings about edification to help you and I edify the body of Christ. Romans chapter 14 and round about verse number 19. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and round about verse number 11. See, when we are edified, when we are motivated, we get on fire to help the sinner see heaven's eternal salvation for them. And see, and when we understand our mission, our responsibility as a sheep under the shepherd, it brings about a whole new meaning of life. Ephesians chapter 4, let me show you something. And round about verse number 12, the Bible says that, let's go with 14. The Bible says, therefore we should be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine and all forms of manner of, and that's not the passage. Ephesians chapter 4, back up to verse 11. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, some pastors, some elders, some evangelists, some pastors, some teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come into the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. See, our job is to edify and build up the people of God. And when we build up the people of God, those people of God not only become sheep of God, but they become faithful sheep of God. Mm-hmm. Galatians chapter 3, around about verse 26 and 27, we're all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of us that are baptized into Christ have put on Christ. And so the question still remains, do you follow the shepherd or are you a sheep gone astray? Church, my whole purpose, my whole responsibility is to help us to see that one day, you're going to give up the ghost. Amen. Oh, yeah. One day you're going to give up the ghost. And when you give up the ghost, Hebrews chapter 9 and round about verse number 27, it is appointed unto man once to die. After death comes the judgment. Amen. There's no working on the night shift in heaven. That's right. You got to get it right while the blood is still running warm in your veins. But what does that require? That requires an individual that really understands where he or she is at. If he was to call us into glory right now, if these started rising, and some of these started rising, and you wasn't going nowhere, what would you think? Because the Bible says he's coming like a thief in the night. He's going to first of all call the dead in Christ. And then he said those of us who are alive and remain is going to be caught up in the sky. Could you imagine that day? Oh, yeah, I know you. And that's a picture that every one of us need to see. Mm-hmm. Because that'll help you stay on the right track. Amen. Jesus says he looked out over the harvest and he was moved with compassion. Because they fainted and they were scattered abroad. Amen. As sheep having no shepherd. Amen. Church, I want to encourage you this day to stop and think about your soul's salvation. Oh, you can shuck and jive me all day long. Amen. But there's going to come a time when you're going to stand before his judgment seat. Amen. And you're going to be begging for a little more time, and he might not even give it to you. That's why it's so important that as the body of Christ on this time side of life, we do our very best to serve him. Amen. You know, I know the world has us tied up.
Amen. I'm guilty. Amen. Just like anybody else. But church, I'm learning that God has blessed me for one purpose, and that's to proclaim his gospel. Yeah, you say, yeah, you're the preacher. You're supposed to. No, no. Anybody that's obeyed from the heart the gospel and have been added to the body of Christ, God has blessed you but for one purpose. That's to spread his gospel. That's why Peter said judgment's going to begin right up in here. And we're going to scarcely make it. You know why? Because Jesus said, when I was hungry, you didn't feed me. When I was thirsty, you didn't give me nothing to drink. When I was shed in and naked, you didn't even clothe me. You didn't even visit me. And we'll probably be like the disciples. Lord, when did we see you like that? He says, when you've done it to the least of my brethren, you've done it unto me. I want to encourage you, if you're falling short of the glory of God, repent, get on the right track.
Amen.
You know, we might think we have all the time in the world, but we just do not know. That's why Peter says, add to your faith virtue to virtue, knowledge to knowledge, temperance to temperance, patience to patience, godliness to godliness, brotherly kindness, for brotherly kindness, love, for if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you'll never be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. But he who lacketh these things has gone astray. He's blind, hasn't forgotten that he was purged from his old sins.
Amen.
If you're here and you're standing, let it be known that together we stand and sing.